Today on Compassion Radio.
In lining up who God's created you to be individually with the task at hand that you're called to, I think is so important. You know, I'm a firm believer in you figure out what you're great at and go leverage that. You know, the weaknesses, I don't ignore them, but you know, I don't spend my life trying to improve those things, trying to make them my best assets or my best capacities.
I do think too that God programs in some weaknesses into us in order that He can shine. I think He plans that out.
Yeah, in our weaknesses, God can step in.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, because you're listening today, it's very likely that you have a heart for the lost. And yet, the lost in the darkest places on earth often seem out of reach. Partners International is a nonprofit Christian ministry with a mission to extend godly influence to places where most of us simply can't go. With your help, they've been able to come alongside indigenous ministries and assist them in fulfilling the vision God has given them. Today, Bram connects with the president of Partners International, Larry Andrews, in a powerful conversation about life and ministry. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's the final part of that conversation.
We're back again with Larry Andrews of Partners International here in Spokane, Washington. We've been talking a lot about the future of the Great Commission, how Partners International is fitting into that, and how church is going to be doing this partnering with some great international ministries. So Larry, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thanks, Bram. It's good to be back again.
Think about airlines. We usually have a hub and spoke system in the West. Small airplanes go to big airports, big airplanes go between big airports. And now we have this point-to-point mentality where they're trying to find the most efficient way to get people from one place to the other. I think on the spiritual level, we have the same challenge in this century. Mm. How do we get people point-to-point to do the most effective work, not have to always bounce back through the United States or the United Kingdom in order to find out what other people are doing?
Yeah. And we've seen some great benefits from it. We've had Indonesians that have gone into Central Asia to do training that, you know what? Our team, we couldn't get visas to get into the country.
Right.
We've seen ministries in China raising funds and sending them into India. We've seen trainers from India go back and do church planning training with local Chinese. And it's been such a joy to just foster this platform and see that God's extending the vision that these local ministries have, not just for their culture and their context and their country, but the world has to be bigger for them as well. Like the Great Commission from a Cambodian's perspective or an Algerian's perspective has to be more than just Algeria. Like they have an uttermost part of the world as well. And so that's been amazing.
The kingdom has boundaries, but they're not national boundaries.
Not at all.
The boundary is outside of God's will within it. I mean, how much simpler can it be? If you're where God's doing something, you're following Him, you're obeying Him, you're in. You invited Him into your heart. He set up His outposts right there inside of you. He expects you to be an embassy and an ambassador. Hmm. Now, we ought to be safe people. We ought to be a safe place. Our families, our houses ought to be safe places for people to find out who God really is.
Yeah.
I'd like to turn now to camping outside your head and heart for a little while, Larry. I love this program to be about how God moves us into that sweet spot of ministry where we know we're at the center of God's will. So if you don't mind spending a little time with me on your own personal testimony and how God brought you to this position, I'd love to explore that with you.
Sure. Well, I was born again in college. I was very thankful to come to Christ in a church that had a very simple mantra. Hmm. It was find God, get vertically connected with Christ, find a friend, get in community with other believers, and find a job. Hmm. Because God had something explicitly and uniquely designed for me.
Right.
And so I was just, you know, crazy enough to believe that. So, you know, progressing in that, I just started serving immediately through college. You know, I went to business school as an undergrad. I got a master's in business. And when I thought about the future, I actually thought about going into ministry right out of grad school. because I had served in a couple different ministries over the
summers. At that time in your life, what did ministry mean to you?
It was just part of what we did. I mean, as a believer, every believer has a ministry. And I just found...
I believe that with you. What I'm saying is that when you came out of college, you considered going into ministry. What
did that mean? Okay, yeah. I considered going into a faith-based organization that had a kingdom orientation and purpose.
Okay.
God had different plans for me. Okay. God explicitly led me to the Procter & Gamble company, which I joined out of college, and I served the Lord for 17 years at Procter & Gamble. And I know that sounds like huh? But, you know, God had me very explicitly be part of that organization. He grew me up in terms of my mentoring, and I had a number of faith-filled managers in that process. I was involved in ministries throughout that time, and God equipped me and helped grow me as a manager and a leader. Mm-hmm. And then I had the opportunity to go to Hewlett-Packard for 10 years, where I had another great opportunity to serve the Lord at Hewlett-Packard and become a P&L leader. I ran a big business. I ended up leading a business that was about a $250 million business, a global services-oriented business that had about 4,000 people on my team in some 30 countries. So I got to know Southeast Asia and different parts of the world really well in that assignment. And in fact, one of the assignments that I had was to displace expats in some countries like the Philippines and Indonesia and China and others with local leaders. One is just practically speaking, it's a lot more efficient and economical.
Right.
And the belief was local leaders were the best people to lead the organization.
And on paper, that makes sense. But it takes somebody to have real insight and vision to see real leadership potential in this person that may have been overlooked by the corporate culture all this time.
Yeah, just identifying and releasing and the fundamental belief that the talent and the capacity in the local countries was authentic and could be leveraged.
So you're thinking from a Christian worldview at that point. So obviously it has echoes then about how you think about people in general, kingdom thinking. But you're also tasked with a very capitalistic enterprise, which is to make the most money for investors and shareholders and to make the company as efficient as possible. These are good skills, but they're not necessarily kingdom calling. So how did that start to meld for you?
In 2011, I just finished my most successful financial year. Honestly, it was a miserable year. Hmm. I mean, just trying to find the motivation. I'm leading this huge team. We're signing literally billion-dollar contracts. And I just knew that my heart wasn't in it. Hmm. And I remember spending some time the end of that year just asking God, what's next? You know, just felt a clear word from the Lord just saying, you're done. 2012 is your transition year. I remember sharing that with my wife. She was just like not thrilled to hear that. She knew I was miserable, but the idea of change, we were very comfortable, financially speaking, and life was good.
And when you say I need a change, it means we're changing.
Yeah.
Her life's going to be upset as well.
Yeah. At that point, we really just started trying to figure out what's next. And it was maybe a month after that, I get one of these late Friday night calls from my senior vice president who said, hey, we're doing some executive downsizing. So Larry, based on the size of your team, you need to give me the name of two executives by Monday morning. So, you know, when you get a Friday night call at 6 p.m. or something, it's never a good call.
Right.
So I had to really think and pray about that. And
looking for your golden parachute pretty quick. Huh?
Yeah. So trying to figure out two names for my team, and based on what the Lord had already spoken to me on that Monday, I came back to my boss and said, yeah, I've got two names for you, and one of them was mine. And said, look, God's already told me that I'm not going to be here next year, so let's figure out a plan. That started a six-month journey to end well with Hewlett-Packard. Honestly, Bram, that was a completely silent 6 months.
Wow.
It felt like I was really seeking, asking, doing all the right things, doing my quiet times. And God was just, I felt like Abraham. This is a step of faith. You know, I'll show you later. Like I had to leave and end my employment before I really felt some clarity from God. But at this point, I had the capacity and the margin to take whatever time I needed, really. It could have been a year, but
That really is a gift. Not many people have that opportunity.
No. That was a year in the making, just ensuring that I could actually do that because I didn't want to rush into anything. And I just wanted God to lead. So I became aware of an organization called Halftime, which is based in Dallas, Bob Buford and the gang. I got help from one of their executive coaches to walk Beth Ann and I, my wife, through a process that took about 7 months to create a one-page mission statement. And the mission statement was, I wanted to work in a global organization that had a Luke 4 ministry of preaching the gospel to the poor and setting captives free. I knew I was a pretty good executive. I wanted to work in an organization that worked among the unreached. And I had never heard of Partners International. It just turns out that Partners International's board of directors hired the same organization, Halftime, to do their CEO search.
And it was all coinciding without your knowledge.
Completely.
Yeah. And funny how God has divine appointments.
Oh, he can be really good when you give him the chance, right? And I just, through that process, I had looked at a number of profiles, and then the Partners International profile came on my desk. And when I read, I just fell in love with what the ministry was about. And I just really felt God say, this was the one. It took about 3 months for the rest of the world to catch up to that reality, you know, with interviews, down selects, beating the board. But the big thing for my wife and I was, this is going to mean moving 2,000 miles. Mm-hmm. We have a couple kids still in college. It was a very difficult move. But, you know, just say, we have to decide in advance because the offer is going to come. So we need to decide now by faith if we're willing to take that risk, because it was a big family risk.
Yeah.
And we said yes. And there were a couple situations that I won't go into detail on that were heartbreaking to us that were involving our kids that could have not gone well. And God turned those into an amazing blessing after we had moved and taken the assignment. And God just proved himself to be very faithful with the things that were probably the most difficult on our hearts to make the move. God turned those around in an amazing way and it made them a blessing that we would have never imagined.
Well, our personal experience of stepping into ministry again in the past couple of years for us meant that our kids were on the altar and they were exposed.
Yeah.
So I understand a bit about them having to take the arrows. You're pleading with God, just let them fall on us. Leave our kids alone.
Yeah, amen.
And
pray that prayer a few times.
Yeah, sure. Nonetheless, God seemed to have mercy in all these things and draws his protection around the way he chooses to. We don't get to dictate to God how he protects us.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement. But consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for the special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478 or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
God leads to the things that satisfy us the most. Yeah. Right? He knows what satisfies us, and it's his great joy for us to experience that kind of satisfaction.
Yeah. We're all specialists, but God's the expert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give some encouragement, if you could, to people at different stages in life. I mean, there are other executives out that are probably fishing around saying, I don't know what to do next, or I feel like I'm not where God really wants me to be. There might be other people that are starting out in life, who's coming out of college saying, I don't even know what to do with my life. People are at many different stations of life. And of course, the audience that's hearing these programs is probably vastly different.
Yeah.
But they all may be at those inflection points where God is nudging them to consider something new. So how would you encourage those who are at those places where they know that God's kind of tugging on them?
Well, the first thing I would say is have faith. If you lack it, ask God for faith,
mm-hmm.
right? Because faith is a gift from God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. We know that from Hebrews 11. The second thing I would say is that write out your dreams and your passions. And if it's difficult to write, get help. Get help. Find a coach or a mentor or someone that can help write out your dreams. And that may sound a little awkward. And honestly, it was for me to just come to a point. It's like, you know, I need help really clarifying what I think my mission is. There's value in the voice of others. And it's kind of a humble thing to do. But when I went and literally hired an executive coach to help me, man, that was one of the best decisions I made, because he asked me questions I would have never asked myself. And he was bold enough to tell me, like, I'd write down a vision. He'd say, that's completely ambiguous. Like, that's not clear at all, Larry. So he pushed me. And I'd say getting help and writing it down. I think the third thing is know the gifting and the capacity that God's put in you. So God's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us talent. He's given us different strengths, different personalities. And, you know, I went through the strength finders and, you know, I know my personality profile. I kind of know what makes me tick. And lining up who God's created you to be individually with the task at hand that you're called to, I think is so important. You know, I'm a firm believer in you figure out what you're great at and go leverage that. You know, the weaknesses, I don't ignore them, but, you know, I don't spend my life trying to improve those things, trying to make them my best assets or my best capacities.
I do think, too, that God programs in some weaknesses into us in order that he can shine. I mean, I do think, well, he plans that out.
Yeah, in our weaknesses, God can step in, right?
If I think purely from human terms, there's plenty about my own personality or my experience that I would look at and say, that's a liability to the work that I do now, not a strength. And yet it's the very thing God says, I'm going to work in you and through you in that area.
That's a great point.
I'm not trying to describe some kind of false humility either. I'm just saying that I'm aware of my limitations in certain areas where I'm never going to be great by nature. But God is going to be great by presence.
Right.
And if I'm called in to do something in those areas where I know that I'm weak, and he says, I'm calling you to do this, he's making a promise there that he's going to show up.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of times on the mission field where you're out there meeting with people where I think, I have no clue how to even do anything productive here without stepping all over my feet, someone else's. Yet God does. And so where I would see myself as being incapable, he's saying, I'm supremely capable and I brought you here with me for a reason.
Yeah.
And so we often step into that spiritual blessing, even though we don't feel like we deserve it.
Yeah, that is well said, Bram.
I do agree with you full-heartedly that there are certain things that God has built us for that make us joyful in the act of doing it.
Yeah.
It's not painful. In fact, it brings us great joy and pleasure to operate in that place where we know that God's designed us. I think both those things exist in the work that we do for the Lord.
Yeah.
Especially when you're stepping out and saying, no more of what the world has to offer. I want Jesus. Well, Larry, we've got the good answers, which is we need to ask God to show us what our strengths and our weaknesses are and to be ready for service of Him. What else do we really need to be able to step into God's calling in our lives?
Well, I guess at that foundational level, Bram, we just need to know Christ. We need to know Him in His suffering. Mm. We need to know Him in His sacrifice. We need to know Him in His love and His capacity to love the unloved and to be burdened with the things that are burdening His heart. And just knowing Jesus personally and starting our days seeking Him, learning what He's got to say to us through His Word, helping us to love others around us, to be good stewards of the things that He's given us, all the relationships that we have, the blessings that He's given us, the capacity to love, just, you know, stewarding that well. Mm-hmm. I think everything really stems from there. So it really comes down to our personal intimacy with Christ and knowing Him that leads us to ultimately what His heart is for us. So I would just, if you're feeling discouraged or any of the listeners out there are feeling discouraged, I just pray that it would start there, knowing that deep level of love that Christ has for you. It really moves us in His heart direction.
Think about those old hymns that talk about how deep the Father's love for us and things we've sang. And those who have been around the church for more than 20 or 30 years probably remember back to a time when there were hymns, but there was deep doctrine in them, understanding that we don't really understand how deep the Father's love for us is until we understand how much He suffers for us. And we don't have the compassion for those around us until we understand how much our own family suffers around the world for taking up the cross of Christ. And sometimes God calls us into sacrificial situations where it seems like we're being nailed to a cross. It's probably a fairly small thing to us, but it's so uncomfortable that it seems like we're getting nailed down in ways that we just can't escape. The situation is too hard for us, or the expectations God has for us seem to be too demanding. And yet He asks us to sacrifice that way, to be willing to do something that is beyond ourselves, that only He can step in and fill, or that only He can restore. Or He asks us to give up something that we don't think will ever be replaced. I'm not just talking about money or opportunity. I'm just talking about our will. You know, sometimes we just want to be right so badly that we're willing to step out of God's blessing in order to be right. You work with people and you respect people that have been willing to step across the line and say, God, whatever you want, however you want it, wherever you want it to be, yes, I'm willing.
Yeah.
And that's my prayer for those who listen to these programs, is that they step into that and say yes to God, whatever He's calling them to do. And we're not trying to prescribe for them what that is, just simply that God does have that for them. You're living this now, Larry, and I appreciate your leadership and your example and the folks here at Partners International, that you are a team of people committed to seeing God's great commission greatly fulfilled in this generation. Hmm. That, to me, is the greatest generation. Those who step into missional living are the greatest generation in my book.
Amen.
It's been great these past few days, Larry. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us and Partners International with our listening audience. Now, we want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with your organization and find out more about how their church might be able to partner with your partners around the world. How do they reach you?
Well, they can reach us at partnersintl.org, or they could reach out to me directly at larry@partnersintl.org. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love for you to take the time to introduce yourself or introduce Partners International to your church or to your pastor. It'd be awesome to connect with you.
Thanks again.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.